Today is a day for truth.
Black and blue, God versus man.
Gay versus man.
Or Midwest God.
I was excited before, just because Ben Affleck got picked to do Batman. I'm curious to see how he does.
The stormtroopers used to be bad at shooting, and now they're not. You know, something like that.
Like the CG of Jurassic Park versus the CG of Lost World. Because
blah, 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 blah.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
My whole life has led to this moment.
Hello and welcome to the Four Midwest Guys podcast. That's right. We actually finally have a name. It's a miracle. I think we could have passed. Yes, I think we could have passed a constitutional amendment easier, but with all the debate. But we are finally here. So welcome to the show. I'm B. Willie. With me today is Anke Bauer. Anke, you want to say hi?
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. And Brian B. is with us as well. Brian, say hi.
Yes. Hello. How are you?
Good. John couldn't be with us tonight. His wife is sick, so big get well from four
Speedy
guys.
Recovery.
Yes, four guys in the Midwest. Yes. Stephanie. So I hope you feel better soon. So summer colds, no fun. So anyway, guys, welcome to the show. How's everybody doing? Doing all right?
Doing good.
All right. Brian?
Yeah, I missed you guys last show. I was on vacation, so.
Yeah. How was your
nice
DC? How was your trip to D.C. there, sir?
It was pretty good. We saw a lot of the monuments. Of course, though, it's one of those things when you go on vacation, you have an idea of things that you want to do. And then you get involved with a bunch of different things. And some things you get to see, some things you don't. So, but otherwise, it was a very good trip. Well-deserved time off, too.
Excellent. All right. All right. Well, Brian, you just recently, I understand, you went and saw Ant-Man. How was it? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it? It was the start of Phase 3. So did they start with an explosion, or was it not so much?
I actually thought that was pretty good. I've never read any of the Ant-Man comics, so I went in completely blind to basically everything in the movie, which was a good change of pace, you know, with the Avengers and Captain America. I went in knowing a lot of facts beforehand, and especially having Paul Rudd cast as Ant-Man, I was curious to see how he would do in a superhero movie. But I tell you what, this movie was it was actually really good. My daughter laughed a lot of the movie. There was a lot of funny parts, a lot of action, and they did tie it in to Captain America and the Avengers.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So is it, so I won't ask what the scene is, but is there a scene at the end of the movie? Is there a bonus?
You don't get just one bonus scene, you get two bonus scenes.
Really? So is it like right as the credits begin, or is it at the end, or is it both, or?
There is one halfway to the end of the credits, and there's one at the very end.
Hmm, interesting. So where, if you gave, let's put it on the old 1 to 10 scale, what would you say? Would you say 7, 8, 9, maybe even 10?
I would definitely put it about an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay.
It's by far not my favorite superhero movie, but it's obvious from the box office records for this week. I think it won again, beat out Pixels. So, you know, it's not doing too bad.
Right. Well, that's good. That's good. So it is tied into the cinematic universe, correct? So
correct. What's his name? Falcon actually has a role in the movie.
Oh,
a lot
really?
A lot of people didn't think he was going to have a role. They do make a reference to Spider-Man in the movie.
Oh, first reference to Spidey in the cinematic universe. That's interesting.
And then I'm not going to tell you what the scene is, but in the in one of the extra scenes, one of the two, we do actually see Captain America, Falcon, and Captain America's good friend. What was his name? It's escaping me at the top of my head.
Are you talking about the Russian?
Yeah.
From the movie?
He's not Russian, but yes. I know
right.
Who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I forget now. Something
but
red.
Yes, but we see all three of those.
Cool. That's awesome.
I mean, it's pretty... It was done very well, And it also there's a few surprise superheroes that they hint at.
Oh, really?
That'll in the very end says Ant-Man will return.
Will return. Does it say what he returns in Ant-Man 2, or does it say Avengers, or did they give it away?
Well, from what I've read online, so nothing official, it does say that he's going to return in Civil War.
Okay.
I don't think there's any plans yet for an Ant-Man 2.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that it won't come to pass, depending on how well it does in the box office, obviously.
Yeah, because, I mean, one of the big things I was really surprised, at least when I went and saw Avengers, or not Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, is they said there was going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And there really wasn't a tie-in, at least not much of one. So I was really surprised when I saw that. That's the reason why I asked you that question, because I was like, wow, they're just going right to a second movie, you know, without tying it in, which I thought was interesting. So,
yep.
So would you say we're off to a good start with Phase 3 then? We're still in good hands?
Yeah, I don't think that it was any by anywhere bad as like Green Lantern was, or
good Lord.
You know, some of those, which yeah. I didn't mind Green Lantern.
Yeah.
It was
DC, not Marvel.
No, I know, but it's a comic book movie. And that's I'm saying. Like as far as like quality wise.
Right.
It wasn't a like Green Lantern, like it just stunk so bad because it was written so poorly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was by no means like the Winter Soldier for Captain America.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm really glad to hear that we're off to a good start because, you know, I've been a little worried about Phase 3 because we lost a couple directors with this movie. And I can't remember if there was, before Paul Rudd come on, if there was a little bit of even the casting with this movie that I remember reading early on that kind of made me a little bit worried. So I'm definitely going to have to check it out then because it sounds like it's pretty cool. So
yep, definitely yep. Check it out.
So, Birchie, what do you think about what Brian has to say about the Ant-Man?
It's not one that I've seen, but I do have to say, I mean, I'm kind of out of the loop on the comic book movies. I really am. I'll be straight blunt here. I've not seen Avengers 2.
Okay.
I've not seen Guardians of the Galaxy. Just a lot of the, I mean, I saw Thor, which I thought was decent. I thought it was pretty good. I saw Avengers, but I'm just comic book burned out, in all honesty. I mean, I may see Ant-Man, I may not. I mean, mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, Paul Rudd's a great actor. He's done a lot of good stuff, but I was just, meh.
There it is.
Kind of take it or leave it.
The first meh of the night. There it is. So... So let's this kind of transitions well to your topic tonight, Brian. I think you've been worried about oversaturation, reboots, remakes, whatever, the whole industry as a whole, no original thinking and whatnot. Why don't you tell us what you're thinking, sir, on that tonight?
Ooh, that's a Pandora's box there that you're wanting to get into. But if you want to get into Pandora's box, we can definitely open up some jewels and look at them and see them shine or see them cast a dull glow through the yellow light, however you want to phrase it.
As long as they're not family jewels, I don't care. So go ahead.
Yeah, well,
we're sticking the same thing.
Wow. The whole concept of reboots, remakes, and resequels and all this other kind of stuff is just, come on, Hollywood. I mean, I know you're a business. You've been around for, you know, hundreds of years now. But come on, get some originality for crying out loud.
Well,
go
ahead.
I'll be honest. I haven't seen some of these comic book movies, and the way they're doing them now, the way they're writing them now, is, oh, if you didn't see this movie, you're not going to know what's going to happen in this movie because this part of the show was in it was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Really? Okay, thanks, Disney.
But I mean, with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, it was a hover carrier, and you really didn't need to see it. If you saw Avengers 2, it shows up and he goes, I pulled it out of mothballs. And that was the big contributing thing. Spoiler alert, by the way, for everybody out there, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Just pointing that out to you. But so you just feel like we're just oversaturated, or do you think it's lack of originality, Brian?
It's both. It's both. Okay. I mean, it's just there's just, you know, so many movies out there that are I mean, come on, we got a fifth Terminator movie? Jesus Christ. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just, how much more do we have to sit? How much more does the Hollywood machine, because I'll call it a machine, how many more movies do we have to churn out and be subjected to that were just done 5 or 10 years ago? Spider-Man series is a prime example, being rebooted now for, what, the fourth time? And now, 2 weeks from now, or even a week from now, we've got Fantastic Four coming out again. We may as well release the 1994 made-for-TV movie into theaters, for crying out loud, when it comes to Fantastic Four. WTF?
Well, I will give you Spider-Man. I thought the Spider-Man reboot was unnecessary. I thought, why not just recast and go forward with the storyline if they were going to make more Spider-Man movies? I didn't really see a need to pull, you know, just take that entire storyline and start over that quickly.
Well, and I think something that goes partly in, that can kind of figures into the whole Spider-Man saga, if you want to call it that, is because of the fact that Spider-Man, the movie rights were tied up within the legal and court system for many, many years. Because if I remember correctly, I think that there were plans to do a Spider-Man movie back in the 80s or early 90s, and it got scrapped because of the fact that they had all this legal crap going on with it, and that's the reason why you didn't see anything until the early 2000s. And in all honesty, I mean, I didn't even waste my time, didn't even bother with Andrew Garfield. I mean,
no,
come on, Emma Stone
missed
out on a horrible performance, I'm sure.
No, actually, it wasn't that bad. I agree with you, though. I don't think it needed to be rebooted, but that's what you get when you have directors and writers who, like, I want to tell my own version of this story.
So, get on it from the get-go.
So, Brian, let me ask you, Bertie, let me throw this at you. Just playing devil's advocate for a second, do you blame the industry? Do you blame the executives or in marketing, or do you blame the audience? Because they're only pandering to what's out there, right? So, to the masses, per se.
Well, I don't necessarily blame marketing. That's one asset of it that ties into it. But I would also kind of look at it from the executive standpoint. And then also you kind of, no offense to anybody out there, because we're all are moviegoers in one way, shape or form, but you have people that go to these movies, that, oh, it's a big blockbuster movie, I gotta go see it. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's just that they'll go see, a green blob flying around on the screen, whatever it might be.
That was a good movie.
That was my tie-in with Ghostbusters there, if you didn't catch that, which I think, by all means, I will just complete blasphemy to the original series. And then, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, this just really boils my blood. Paul Feig, or Feig, or however you pronounce it, has the audacity to Photoshop the all-female cast on an original photograph from the 1984 movie.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I saw that.
Look it up.
Did you also see that Dan Aykroyd's going to have a cameo role in the Ghostbuster movie?
I just really don't think that, in all honesty, if a Ghostbuster movie should have been done, it should have been done like 15 years ago. Because I just it's an injustice to the whole franchise, if you want to call it that.
So there's been talk many years.
Let me finish real quick.
There's been
talk for many, many years of there being a third Ghostbusters movie, and it never took off. And now that you have Ivan Reitman, who is now not with us anymore, I think he's kind of rolling in his grave right now with all this stuff. But to get back to your question, though, Brink, I really think that it's part of the industry itself, because we've gotten to a saturation point. It's executives who are looking for any way to turn a dime. Or for that matter, $9 or $12, $15, whatever it costs to get into the theater now. to see how many warm bodies they can put into a theater. And I also think it's part of the whole concept of some of these directors who have this egotistical attitude that I'm holier than thou. And if you don't make the movie my way, then I walk, such as like Michael Bay, turning Bumblebee from a VW into a Camaro in the movies.
Right.
Thank you for ruining my childhood.
How did that ruin your childhood?
Because I grew up with Transformers, and it was a comic book, and then it was a really kick-ass cartoon in the 80s. And then you got some prick like Michael Bay who comes along, who was famously known for directing Lionel Richie music videos, which you should have gone back to doing because apparently Lionel Richie needs to pay for his daughter's Nicole Richie's stuff. But then he ruins not only Transformers, but then he ruins Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He has a production company that's off of ruining classic horror flicks now. Should I go on?
Well, what about, you know, you say ruining your childhood, right? You know, what about what actual live people are doing to ruin your childhood? You know, Cosby's now a rapist. Hulk Hogan is a racist. You know, if there's a video that comes out with, you know, Optimus Prime kicking puppies, then, you know, that goes the whole, my whole childhood. All my heroes are gone.
Oh, I'm starting to remember the joke, the pudding joke from, I can't say it on air, but anyway.
But you know what I mean? Like, everybody's going to have their own take on something. So,
you know, with a lot of these remakes and a lot of these executives, you know, making these decisions to just kind of get people into seats, you know, I think it's if you have a beloved franchise, okay, don't remake it. Pull the original out, clean up the negative print, and re-release it for new generations to enjoy. Don't confuse generations of moviegoers, of future moviegoers, with original movies. I mean, think about it. Think about how many movies have been remade over the past 15, 20 plus years. You have multiple versions of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Manchurian Candidate, which was a really great movie from 1962, had a very, really, really great role by the late, great Frank Sinatra. His role of Benjamin Marco, if I remember correctly, was portrayed by Denzel Washington in the remake a couple of years ago. Come on, really? I mean, when I think of the Manchurian Candidate, I'm thinking of Frank Sinatra, not Denzel Washington. I mean, that's the thing that's going to wind up confusing moviegoers now, because people are going to talk about movies. Oh, yeah, I saw Ghostbusters. Oh, really? Yeah, it was a great movie. Oh, that Melissa McCarthy was great. No, I'm not talking about Melissa McCarthy. I'm talking about the original that was done in 1984 with Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ivan Reitman, and Ernie Hudson.
Right, so, yeah. I can see that. I mean, I was at my daughter's softball game on Saturday, and my dad and one of his friends were discussing how one of the coaches was wearing something over their face, and my dad said it kind of reminded him of Mad Max, and she said, and she was talking about oh, I didn't remember any mask from Mad Max. She was talking about the Mel Gibson one. He was talking about the new one that just came out in theaters. It was pretty funny.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, you have a cultural divide because you have folks now who were born in the late 80s and early 90s and don't know movies like Escape from New York or Escape from L.A. because they weren't around when those movies were out. So, I mean, it's like I find myself talking with folks and I have to make a cultural reference because, oh, I'm sorry, that's right, you were born when? 1991? Oh, I'm sorry, this movie came out in 1982. I'm sorry. Let me address that cultural reference for you.
So are
you?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, what I was going to say was, and now we have these movies being remade, and the original film is getting lost because these folks, A, weren't born when the movie came out, and B, haven't bothered to take the time to watch it. because they haven't been exposed to it in any way, shape, or form. And
right, but should they have to watch the original to watch the new one? I don't think that's...
You should have some kind of an idea.
Why? Why wouldn't you want to go in with a... Like, my whole problem with a lot of movies is you go in, especially with reboots, just reboots, keep in mind, you go in and you think something should be the way it's supposed to be because you've seen the old one. But if you go into a movie and you've never seen the old one, your expectations are far less and the movie seems way better for you. That's just my opinion.
Well, let me ask you this, Birchie, because this is your topic, so I'm going to ask you this. How about what if it's like you said, what if it is something from the 60s or something even further back from the 50s and the 40s where the culture is now different and they just want to apply the same story to a modern-day setting? Is that still okay in your book, or is that still doing disservice to the original?
I think it really would depend on the movie and the original film. I mean, come on, do you really want to see a 2015 version of The Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Oh, yes.
No, wait a minute. Actually, let me back up, because there was actually a 2013 or 2014 movie that was made that it might even still be in production. I don't know, but it's a CGI version of The Wizard of Oz. Really? Okay, I mean, come on. Hollywood, to me, will officially be dead when Casablanca is remade, Citizen Kane. You cannot touch Citizen Kane.
Can't wait for those.
I mean, come on. Let me just say this. Tom Cruise and Steven Spielberg did a huge, huge disservice by desecrating War of the Worlds.
Agreed.
Okay, that movie was absolutely horrible. And if you agree that movie was a good movie, just get out right now. Just don't even listen to this podcast anymore, because War of the Worlds sucked.
Keep listening. We all agree it sucked, but keep listening.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just Orson Welles' masterpiece, and you're gonna desecrate it in that fashion. I mean, come on, Steven Spielberg. I used to have a lot of respect for Spielberg, but he's taken it down quite a bit of notches by working with Michael Bay and Tom Cruise. Just, dude, stop, please.
He only does good Mission Impossible movies anymore, and he did a good Top Gun, and I don't want to.
But I will say this.
Yeah.
I will say this, and it's really kind of a cool thing, bringing this kind of full circle. The reason why we've not seen a remake of Back to the Future is because Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale did it the right way. They put it in their contract and in their clause that this movie cannot be touched for as long as we live. And they've also got stipulations in their estates now saying that nobody will be able to touch Back to the Future ever.
That, to me,
is totally kick-ass.
Okay, so I understand that you're a purist at heart and that you don't ever want any disservice done to any original ever made, but at a certain point, I mean, we're already in 2015, and Back to the Future 2, just play devil's advocate here, was 2015, and we still don't have flying cars. So when I watched that movie... You know, it's becoming a little less relevant as time goes on. Not to say that I don't love the movie. I do. I love the entire trilogy. I love Christopher. I don't think anybody could be a better doc than Christopher Lloyd. You know, I think he's tremendous in that movie. But as time goes on, 20 years from now, it's not going to be as relevant anymore to people. You know, so it'll still be loved by the older people, but of the younger generation coming up, Gabby's not going to appreciate it as much as I did. Right? So
well, you don't necessarily know that. I mean, well, just kind of tying back in with my other commentary about people relating to a specific movie. Look at some of the horror films that Michael Bay has been involved with. When people talk about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Friday the 13th or A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think some of those people are going to refer to? The stuff that was done just a couple of years ago. Because some people live under a rock, and this is a good segue into some of the things you want to talk about, Brink.
Right.
But some people live under a rock and don't know of stuff that was done back in the 70s or 80s, or 90s for that matter.
Hmm. I'll give you that point. I'll give that to you. Let me ask you this before we move off for your topic, because there's one other question I want to ask you. So do you think the blockbuster? I think the block. Do you not think there's enough money being paid to, you know, to the independent filmmakers? Or do you not think they're not looking at the original scripts as much and spending all their money on the blockbuster? Because there are things out there like Fox Searchlight, you know, that goes and looks for. And you might look at that as a form of exploitation. I don't know, but they look for independent films to bring to the big screen. So, what's your thoughts on that before we leave the subject tonight?
I think that it's a combination because we are kind of in a quote unquote fast food society.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of folks who are getting away from the whole concept of, oh, if it's broke, I'll just throw it away and get a new one. It's not worth my time to try to fix it. We've got a new generation of folks out there that have that mentality, that spend more time on their cell phones, more time on their iPads, their tablets, and they've got the attention span of a bug. They can't be held to have attention for more than 2 minutes because then they get bored. And I honestly think that a lot of stuff that we have going nowadays, it's the independent filmmaker.
Brian, what are you, Eichenbauer, what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, sound was coming from you, man. Anyway, yeah, I don't know what that was, but it wasn't me. Go ahead, Bertie, finish your thought.
I think that independent films, while there are some good ones that are out there, a lot of those folks are not getting the full chance and full opportunity that they get to make their films because corporate executives are looking at it. How many warm bodies can I put into a theater with as much CGI and non-practical effects in a film that I can throw into a movie?
Well, I mean, but don't you think the blockbuster, though, the money from the blockbuster, if, let's just say, like Fox Searchlight, if they started doing more independents and start, you know, developing more storyline-driven films as a result of the blockbuster, it's like, what's McCall's production company, Clooney. He has to do the blockbuster in order to support the more story-driven movies that he does. Wouldn't you agree with that, or no?
Well, that's true. I'm not saying we move completely away from the blockbuster, but I really think that anymore, it's gotten to be, here, I'm going to throw all of this merchandise at you, and I'm going to bombard you with every single thing I can think of for you to go see this movie for 2 hours, yet it's all CGI and everything else, and it's just... We don't really have a chance for independence much anymore. We really don't.
Well, what if it's good though? Like I'll admit I'm worried. Let's just take Star Wars for example and Disney. And I know how you feel about Disney and Star Wars, but you know they've got all this stuff lined up for what they call the countdown to Episode 7. And so far, what they've released is pretty daggone good. I'm in the process of listening. I got an audiobook. I got Lords of the Sith so far. Pretty darn good. I'm about halfway through. Pretty good. I'm not going to lie. It's probably one of the better audiobooks, Star Wars audiobooks I've listened to or read in a while. Probably Darth Plagueis was the last good one, comparison-wise. So I don't know. I mean, if the quality is good and the content is good, why not saturate? What do you think?
I think we've just gotten to a point where it's just oversaturation, especially with, like I mentioned before, all the comic book movies. I mean, come on. You got 19 comic book movies in the pipeline?
Yeah, but look, I mean, they haven't had a, no offense, there hasn't been a turd in the punch bowl yet with it, as far as I'm concerned. And according to Brian with Ant-Man, it sounds like, you know, that's continuing. And that was the only one I was worried about. I like that it's interconnected. I like that it's one big story. It's just like reading the comics when you were a kid, to me, because you get to see what happens next. And it's all interconnected. To me, I like that. That's just me. Brian, what do you think? Eichenbauer, you've been a little quiet lately.
Oh, well, I agree with you. As long as it's got good quality, then keep putting it out. You know, but if it's horrible, then by God, you better cut it out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, you know, nobody wants to go see Harry Potter 17. You know, but the first
I'll throw this back out there.
You know, the first one was good. The second one was okay, but it kind of like kept going downhill. You know what I mean? They just kept putting them out. Lord of the Rings. Three good parts of that movie. Right? So why not put it out again?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But like, you know, there are some movies that you're like, really? Like Hot Tub Time Machine. Yeah, the first one was funny, but by no means did there need to be a second one. But they made it anyway.
Right, right.
Can you honestly tell me that if the female version of Ghostbusters comes out, can you honestly tell me that you would go see a second female Ghostbusters movie?
If the storyline was great, yeah. If I like the movie, I'm going to go see a second one. However, if it's awful, then no. Why would I want to go see the second version of it?
Right. It's like,
but see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. You have people out there that will go see the movie regardless if it's good or not because they've been brainwashed. I gotta go see this movie. Really? Okay.
Well, no, I get that part, but Brian, the other thing is that's when you have the opening weekend huge box office, but you don't have the continuing that, you know, people want to go see it two or three times.
And you're going to have people like what happened with Green Lantern. You're going to have people that just go in there and destroy it online. I mean, just tear it to pieces.
Which I think did it an injustice because I actually liked the Green Lantern movie. You know, it was one of those. It took me to a world that doesn't really exist. You know, and it was actually kind of didn't follow a whole bunch of the storyline from Green Lantern, but it was entertaining. And that's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to. It didn't follow the comic storyline, this and that. You know, you get those purists that say that. I don't care as long as it's entertaining on the show. Why would I care if it follows the comic book?
That's a good point, Brian. I mean, to me, it's like when it comes to Hollywood these days, it's like my question is, who's more guilty? If from the remake and the reboot, who's more guilty? If the reboot and remake is such a bad thing, then who's more guilty? Is it the audience or is it the executives just trying to feed
the
audience?
It's both because you've got the corporate suits who are saying, hey, let's look at the next movie TV show that we can turn into a movie so we can get as many warm bodies into the theater as possible. And then you got the audience folks, like I said before, who maybe not be familiar with it, but be like, oh, Red's going to make a movie out of that? I got to go see it. You know, and then, yeah. So I think it goes both ways.
I just think I think you might be right. There is a certain section of the populace that will go regardless. But I also think there are people that will hold them accountable. It's like, don't get me wrong. You could put, I've said this in the past, you could put the title of Star Wars on a movie with somebody in there just counting matches all damn day on the movie, and I would go see it just because of the Star Wars. But on the other hand, I'm also going to go home and I'm also going to go on the internet and I'm going to demand my money back and let Disney have it for creating such a horrible Star Wars movie.
And yeah, to that point, I will say that there's no need for Disney to desecrate Star Wars as they're starting to do. Disneyfying it, if you will put it that way, by creating all these side movies. I know Boba Fett's backstory. I don't need to see a movie about it. I know Han Solo's backstory. I don't need to see a movie about it. I mean, what are we going to have? We're going to have a Star Wars side movie about Dengar or how IG-88 got built? I don't care.
That would be fun.
All right. But to answer your question or to counterpoint you, sir, I will say this. Do they need to make episode 7? Do they need to make 8 and 9? No. No, it doesn't have to. The trilogy as it stands, though the original can stand on its own feet and will stand the test of time as it has for the past 30 years. However, if you're going to make it, if you're going to do it, then do it right. And so far, everything I have seen from the interviews, from the Comic-Con panel, the interviews with J.J. Abrams, with Lawrence Kasdan as the writer, and everything that I'm hearing you know, because I read the boards, I listen to a couple podcasts, Rebel Force Radio included. If Jimmy and Jason, if you're listening, there you go, shameless plug. Everything is being done right. I mean, they are taking the time and they are taking care, because you now have the fanboys like us that they've now grown up, and now it's their job to take the torch has been passed to a new generation, and it's their job to now live up to the expectations, because we've seen what went wrong with the prequels. Like I said, I'm not a prequel hater, I'm a prequel defender actually, but there were things that were done wrong. They're now taking those lessons and they are applying them to the new Star Wars movie. And they are heavily, heavily centric on the original trilogy, which we all know has the magic that we all love, that's why we're Star Wars fans. Beyond the fact that we were 7 or 8 years old and we were, you know, yelling, "Go get him, Luke," when the Rancor came out to come get him. But that was me. Anyway.
Hey, off topic just a little bit, did you guys happen to see the R2-D2 PS4?
No, I did not. They have an R2.
I did see some pictures of that, yeah.
Is that going to come out with the new Battlefront game, Brian?
I believe so.
Oh,
and it looks fantastic.
Oh, man. See, my boss at work, Scott's been telling me, because he's a big gamer, and he's been he keeps saying, yeah, they'll probably release a bundle pack and it'll be something Star Wars, and I'm like, oh, because I haven't bought a video game system since I don't know, in the GameCube maybe.
Yeah
So, but I am really excited about that Battlefront game. I cannot wait to get my hands on the controller and start playing that game. It's just ridiculous looking. Absolutely ridiculous. So
yeah, I posted it on Facebook. If you look down through my stuff,
okay. Do me a favor, put that on our Four Guys page. We have we also have a Facebook page now, folks, and we also have a Twitter account. We'll tell you about that at the end of the show. But do me a favor, put that on our Facebook page, so everybody can see what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance. So okay, I think we've kind of covered the whole remake reboot the whole. Prequels.
There might be a second part to that.
Well, we can
just
come back
throwing that out there.
Okay, that's fine.
Because, so, oh, hey, it's what the people want, right?
That's what the people want. Exactly. See, you're starting to think like an executive. I knew you would come around, Brian.
No, let me just throw this out there. This will be my final thought the whole corporate thing.
Okay.
It's. I'm trying to figure out the best way to tie it in, because. You know, yes, the movie business, or making movies, is a business. I get that. I understand that. But what frustrates me, like the movie business, the music business has also suffered greatly as well. And I'm speaking from a standpoint of radio stations, because of the fact that you have corporate radio folks anymore, regardless of what city you're living in. Your DJs are not in the city that you're listening, okay?
Okay.
So there are some folks that are live, but you could be listening to a Cumulus station or a Clear Channel station here in Cincinnati, and those folks are recording their voice tracks in Florida, okay? And those corporate folks that are running the station from Florida have no idea what the people in Cincinnati want. They just put the same 20 songs in rotation because that's what sells. Crap sells and people buy. Homogenized and packaged because that's what the sheeple want.
Did you say hummus?
That's my final thought. Homogenized.
Oh, homogenized.
Homogenized. So everything
hey, by
is
the
same because...
By the way, that link is up on our page now.
Oh, excellent. There you go. Okay. So we'll it's
That's going to be my final thought in regards to reboots, remakes, rehashes, whatever you want to call it, because of the fact that, guess what? It's something that people know. It's something that people are familiar with. And corporate folks are like, by golly, I can put warm bodies in the theater because that's what they know. They don't know anything else. Kind of like Michael Bay saying in the commentary for Armageddon, there's an explosion on the spatial because the audience doesn't know any better. Don't insult me as a moviegoer.
All right. There you have it, folks. But to your counterpoint on your radio, there's the independent podcasters like us. We're still out there. So there's the flip side to your technology. All right.
Exactly.
So moving on. So my topic for tonight is there's been a little bit of an outrage with a certain Star Wars piece of merchandise out there. apparently, somebody is now outraged about the Slave Leia.
Will he tell his children?
Slave Leia being made into an action figure. And so I got the news clip, and I edited it together. So let's take a quick listen, and then when we get done, I'll be more than happy to talk about it.
Down the toy aisle, had a local dad doing a double take. He's furious over a popular Star Wars action figure sold in stores in our area.
It's pretty inappropriate.
A single dad was shocked to see this on the toy aisle shelf. A Hasbro-made Star Wars Black Series action figure of Princess Leia, wearing what the box described as a slave outfit.
I got two daughters, I don't need seeing that crap.
The toy features a scantily clad version of Princess Leia, complete with a chain around her neck. The toy that even has Dad blushing.
They're like, Dad, why does this doll have a chain around her neck?
Now, we did reach out to Target corporate headquarters for a response. In a statement tonight, they tell us, we have not received any other guest complaints about this product. If a guest has a question, we recommend they reach out directly to Target.
Oh, the outrage. The outrage. The outrage. Oh, dear God, no. Not a slave, not somebody in a bikini that just happens to have a chain around her neck and that she just happened to choke her enslaver with and kill him with. Oh, wait, you haven't seen Return of the Jedi. Oh, wait, yeah, you probably did when you were like 9 years old. But now that you're older and you have kids, it's a different story. Oh, my gosh. All right, whoever wants to go first, I'm going last on this one after that. Go ahead.
I'll chime in here. I will say I did see the news clip. This was from some folks in Philadelphia. Now, and obviously, Will and Brink, you've seen the whole news clip. It's as if the news team from the news channel didn't even see the movie either.
I know. And then you hear that guy talking. It's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, it was like, oh, my God. It's like, it was a slow news day, and they were like, well, we got to make some shit up. Let's send some guy out to
exactly.
the store, and
But here's the thing, when they even when they went out and interviewed these folks, it's like they found every person on the street that had never seen Return of the Jedi. The movie came out in 1983. Were you living under a rock in 1983? And to top that off, Hasbro Kenner made an original Slave Leia in the original Kenner Star Wars line in 1983. They made a figure in the 1995 series as well, and then they made a 12-inch figure in the 1997 series as well. I only know that because 20 years ago, I was a figure hunter and would go to Walmart at 3 o'clock in the morning looking for figures when I was collecting them. And then to top it off, too, I'll throw this in there as well. Target, Walmart, and Toys R Us, guess who Hasbro's three biggest clients are? Ding, 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 all three of those retailers. Hello? Yeah, that's why they've never had a complaint before, because Hasbro is one of their biggest carriers. That's why you go into a Target or a Walmart and you see that, or even Toys R Us exclusive, Target exclusive, Walmart exclusive. Yeah, they had special things that were shipped to each one of those stores. And the fact that this guy has never seen this before, dude, go watch the movies.
You know, hello? Honestly, I call shenanigans. I call absolute shenanigans. The fact that I just can't believe that there's somebody out there his age that hasn't seen Star Wars, much less Return of the Jedi, at some point in his life. I mean, come on. I think the only reason he's even said anything is because I didn't put it in there, but the whole news clip, his daughter happened to see it as they were walking by through the aisle. That is the only reason that he's even making a stink about this. I think it's like the local Fox affiliate just wants to capitalize on other news that's going on out there, and then they want to use that outrage and that offense. I'm starting to call them the offense Nazis, because not to say that some of the other stuff isn't legitimate, because it is, but that they're now taking this offense and they're using it to drive media and to try to get news and stuff. I don't know, Anke Bauer, what do you think?
Well, I have two thoughts. So, one, this guy is retarded. obviously. This guy is a special kind of stupid. There is no way. There is no way that he's never seen that Star Wars. And for him to go, I can't walk down the aisle with my girls and have them see this. Well, hey, newsflash, buddy. The Star Wars toys are not next to the girl toys. So what are you doing walking down the boy aisle? You know, another thing is, you know, if you're upset about that, then let's – I want Donald Duck taken out of Disney. He doesn't wear any pants. I don't need my daughter seeing that. You know, and speaking of not wearing any pants, Brian, I know you don't want to see this movie, and I don't really want to see it either. But did you see the Fantastic Four that the Rock, the Thing, has no pants on?
What?
I did not see that.
You're kidding.
He has no pants.
Oh, so he has just a – does he have a small
pebble?
Yes,
he just has a thing.
Is it a pebble?
It's just – it's gotten ridiculous that people get offended by everything. And all he's trying to do is cash in on a movement. And then, you know, what's going to happen? They're going to say, okay, we got to take this out because people are offended. You know, no. I'm sorry that you're offended by it. But guess what? Nobody's making you buy it. Nobody's making you walk down the boy toy aisle at Target or Walmart or wherever to go look at these things. I don't walk down the girl aisle and say, well, I mean, I do because I have a daughter, but I don't walk down there specifically to say, that dress is too short. Why does Barbie have a miniskirt on? That's just promoting her to be like some kind of whore. No, I don't do that because I don't play with Barbies.
Exactly.
Does he play with a Leia, slave Leia?
That's a good question. You know, it was – it's a lot of people's fantasies, Brian, so you never know.
Yeah.
Well, just like I mentioned, there's been three different versions of the slave Leia figure made over the past 30 years. I actually – I think I posted it up. Brink, I think I posted it on your post about this. I actually posted photos of all three of those figures. Mm-hmm. And it's like, really? I mean – the figure came out in the original line in 1983, and I'm sure if you find it in the package now, it's probably going to be a couple hundred bucks. Now with this news story, it's probably going to go even higher than that.
Wait, did you hear they're going to have they're going to have a rally?
Are they really?
A rally?
A rally in protest. I think it's going to be the –
where?
While we're speaking of things that offend, because I will mention this, and this I'm going to keep it short and sweet. All of the things that are regarding the Confederate flag – okay, people, do yourselves a favor. Go online and do your research, okay? Everything that's been made a stink about the Confederate flag, guess what? The bars and stars was the battle flag of Tennessee. The original Confederate flag of the Confederate States of America was two red bars with a white stripe and a blue background with a circle of stars. Look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's a real tragedy, and it's sad what other people have done and what it's become. You know, because the one that everybody's thinking about, the X, right? Not the actual Tennessee flag that you're talking about, but and what other organizations have used that for. That's what the problem is, and that's what the issue is. And I think the fact that they're taking it out of museums is going too far because it's history.
Let me piggyback on your comment.
And when it comes to the state flag, I'm just going to say this: that, you know, that's up to the people of South Carolina. Then they, you know, their representatives, they voted. Let the people speak. You know, and that's pretty much where I think we should leave it. But go ahead, Brian.
Well, I was going to just piggyback on your comment because when I was on vacation in D.C., we went to the National Cathedral, and if you get the opportunity to go to the National Cathedral in Washington, it's a beautiful piece of artwork. It's this huge cathedral, seats a couple of thousand people. There's been over 150 people that are buried inside the cathedral itself as well. They started construction on it in 1907, and it wasn't until 1990 that the cathedral actually opened up to the public. But what I wanted to mention was there is actually two points in the cathedral where there are two stained glass windows that are commemorating Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah.
And there's a plaque.
Just because they were the generals, you know, and that's what they're, you know, and they were good generals, whether, you know, no matter what side they were on, you know what I mean? So,
and the thing about it is there's a plaque that says, oh, is that the Confederate flag? Why, yes, it is. There's a Confederate flag in the stained glass windows. And guess what? In the National Cathedral, there is now talk of those stained glass windows being removed because they don't want to offend people.
Well, that
really,
that,
let's just change history. Why don't we?
Right. When it comes to historics, I don't think it should be touched. But I think
I
we're
hope
gonna
they put in rainbow ones.
Oh my goodness! All right, but I'm gonna keep this where it belongs, and that is with the slave Leia. Tragedy, offense. Oh my God! Watch out! You know, we have to pull slave Leias everywhere off the market. So let's just keep it where it belongs,
yep,
right
I
there.
I can't wait to see what they get offended by next, you know, with Star Wars and everything else.
I know. I'm afraid the lightsaber looks like a penis. You must destroy the lightsaber.
Okay, two things I want to mention here real quick. First, there's some golfer who has a replica of the General Lee from the Dukes of Hazzard. Not to mention, if you didn't know, the Dukes of Hazzard has now been pulled from TV land because we don't want to offend anybody by this show being aired. But, you know, if you actually watch the show, it's not offensive in any way, shape, or form. Mm. It's just the good old boys having fun. But in that regard, there's a golfer who bought one of the replicas that was used in the TV show, and now he's stated that, oh, guess what? Since it has the Confederate flag on it, I'm painting an American flag over top of it.
Yeah,
really?
Well, okay. that's
his loss.
His loss, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so.
Second point, well, I was going to throw in here real quick with the you're talking about being offended by lightsabers and whatnot. Anybody catch Amy Schumer's photo spread in GQ?
Yeah, I think she's probably going to get sued because she didn't have Lucasfilm's permission. And, you know, I don't have a problem with it necessarily. It's pretty funny, but humorous to me.
Slave Schumer?
Slave Schumer, yeah.
I will say this. Now, obviously, if you've been following current events, we know about the theater shooting in Lafayette, Louisiana. And her movie, Trainwreck, which apparently, from what I've seen, looks like a train wreck, because she's talking about it being autobiographical. But, you know, the people getting shot by this guy who had manic depression and all this other kind of stuff, she went out on Twitter and said, you know, hey, my heart goes out to the families. Good for you. Points for Amy Schumer.
You know, all of us here, obviously, at Four Midwest Guys, our hearts and condolences go out to the victims and just another absolute tragedy, you know. So, but anyway, let's get back to the slave Leia, you know, because that's what my topic was. And I just want to say that, you know, the slave Leia, it's ridiculous that it's gone to this. I think this is just the local media trying to stir up trouble, trying to stir things up to get ratings, to create a controversy where one does not exist, in my opinion. So,
agreed.
You agreed. And, yep. You know, I will be... They can take just about anything from me. They can take away the General Lee. They can take it away, all of my kid toys I've ever known and loved. They can take away Knight Rider, for God's sakes, if that's what they want to do. But I will be damned if they ever take away my slave Leia. Thank
you. That music sounded like I was going to start crying there for a moment.
Actually, you know what that was? That is actually the final duel between Luke and Vader. That's the guy's chorus in the background going, ooh, or whatever. Harry, I'll see if I can get some more of it for you. Hold on.
There's a
ooh. So there you go. There you go. There's the ooh.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. All right, gentlemen. Well, it's been a eventful evening. a lot of topics. We started off with Ant-Man. We got into a little bit of the movies, the remix. That was a pretty good discussion. And we finished it up with Slave Leia controversy and more controversy on top of it. So I think it is time for our final thoughts. All right, so gentlemen, Brian, what's your final thoughts for the evening?
Me or Ankenbauer?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ankenbauer.
Oh, my final thoughts for the evening? My final thoughts for the evening are keep going to the movies. You know, if you guys who are out there listening to this podcast, you know, you go see a movie and you have a different opinion than us or the same opinion of us, be sure to message us on Facebook. I like to have the interaction, like to see multiple different views of things. So be sure to hit us up there on Facebook or Twitter.
Yes.
For Four Midwest Guys.
That's right. It's facebook.com/4MidwestGuys, or you can also reach us at 4 Midwest Guys. On Twitter, that's also the same for our Facebook account as well. Good point, Ankenbauer. I forgot all about that. Birchie, your final thoughts, sir?
I'll say that, you know, continue going to the movies, but I would also say keep in mind of the music and movie history that is out there. There is so much out there for you to discover. If you haven't seen an original movie, take the time to go watch it on Netflix or Hulu or whatever. Whatever your favorite online station is, or if you have a favorite theater that is, you know, re-releasing some old movies to preview every once in a while, take the time to go see an original movie and not just base your opinion or your thoughts on a remake because you just saw it a couple of years ago. There is so much things out there to discover that I don't think that anybody could ever take the time to truly find everything. That makes any sense. I'm 40 years old, and there's still music and movies that I haven't discovered before. And that's what makes it a fun learning process, because then you can have lively conversations like this with your friends or your anti-friends, enemies, whatever it might be, and you can have a lively discussion about it. So take the time to do your research and keep it in mind, because you might find something that you didn't discover before.
Good point. So for history, and if you love movies, and if you've gone and seen a remake, Brian, I think you're suggesting go see the original, right? So go go find it on Netflix online, or if there are still movie stores out there. I guess I don't know if there is actually one rental place just down the street from me. I don't know how they stay in business, but they're there. So. And finally, my final thoughts is, people, let's try to get real when it comes to, like, Slave Leia and stuff. I'm offended by your offense. Ankenbauer, I don't know if you want to put that on our page or your post there.
I can put the post up.
Yeah, put the post up. Let's
put the post up. I'm offended by your post.
Exactly. Let's try. Let's take a step back. You know, take a moment and let's try to keep it real, folks. Let's try to keep it
get along.
Yeah, save your offense for stuff that's actually offendable. If that makes
sense. The post is up.
Okay, excellent. So if anything, you know, just please, people, let's try to keep it real. Let's try to keep it grounded. Let's not waste time talking about a figurine of Slave Leia, which is really not that. You know, not that skimpy, really. If I've seen, you know, there's, you know, she's wearing like a bikini, and even the bikini on the lower area, she has like a long scarf covering all that. So I've seen a lot worse, just unfortunately walking around Walmart, but we won't talk about that. Those are just bad memories.
Yeah, I can't have my daughter seeing that. Oh, the humanity.
Exactly. So anyway. So that's my final thought. It's been a great show. Ryan, it was good to have you. Ankenbauer, good to have you here. Birchie, you guys.
Great to be back. We'll see you again next time.
Next time, yeah. We're every other week. We'll try to release a show every other week, and we'll go from there. But we'd love to hear from you. Again, you can facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can also reach us on Twitter at 4MidwestGuys. And we'd love to hear back from you. If you got something that you want us to address, questions, any kind of topics that maybe you want to hear us talk about, we would love the suggestions. So please find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter. We're out there. But for now, that's it. For now, we love you, and we'll talk to you next time. All right. Bye.